Good Thursday, everyone. March the 8th, coming to you live from the historic Main Gym, 1600 AM. As the FM's right now, 107.5, the North Gym, and 106.3, the South Gym, is currently carrying Scott Unas's call from the Boys State Basketball Tournament in Des Moines. Xavier taking on Glenwood right now through three quarters. Xavier with a surge at the end of the third quarter, leading 42-39 in quest of its third straight Class 3A state championship. More Boys State Basketball Tournament action coming up with you for the next hour. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann. As I mentioned, normal co-host Scott Unas in Des Moines. So getting to be a regular thing, Kyle.
Yeah, I actually just realized that we're going to do this two more times next week. Unas is going to take a little break, take a little vacation after being so busy. So we'll be doing this again.
Yeah, after a dozen trips to Des Moines in the last 2 weeks, you think the guy needs a little respite?
Hey, I don't think I would be able to do that.
Yeah, Scott's going to be off next Monday and Tuesday, but we'll steer the ship. Of course, Monday we'll be talking a lot of NCAA tournament bracket information and analysis as the tournament selections are made on Sunday. A lot of conference tournament action. You've got Missouri in action. A lot of eyes on that because Michael Porter, who is widely regarded as a lottery pick, he has missed all season, but he has come back. What have you seen so far?
Here's the thing. At his size, you can see that he's got some skills. He's a good athlete. He can get out. He's got some bounce. He can handle the ball. But, you know, we're 13 minutes into the first half here. He's just missed another shot. He's 1-for-7. Mm. He airballed a three, was about a foot short. He got blocked on a sweeping hook through the lane. And he just looks a lot like a guy who's, you know, shaking some rust off. So
no, he's got to be.
Right.
He's got to be. Interesting that he's back now. And what will that mean to next year? What will that mean to his decision in the NBA draft coming up?
Yeah, and I'm also interested. I'm going to ask Kevin Lehman this. I'm sort of curious. Mizzou's been a decent team all season. They're going to be in the tournament no matter what happens in this Big 12 tournament. But with Michael Porter just kind of showing up out of nowhere here at the end of the season, I'm curious how that could affect their seeding. Mm. Because will the committee look and say, okay, well, this team played good enough to be an 8 seed, but now they've got one of the best players in the country, you know, adding to that roster. Does that maybe even knock them up a couple seeds? I don't know the answer to that. I'm curious what Kevin will have to say.
Yeah, I am too. Hey, The Bachelor has been sighted on the golf course in Florida.
Ari?
Tiger Woods.
Oh, my.
He is playing the Valspar Championship in Palm Harbor, Florida. Well, he's going to play four of the next 5 weeks. And guess what? Tiger is in contention, tied for sixth right now. 2 under par through 11 holes. He trails Corey Connors, the Canadian, by 2 strokes right now. So Tiger birdied 10 and 11 to get in contention. I know it's only the first round, but huge crowds at this tournament right now, mainly because of Tiger. Cedar Rapide and Zach Johnson also in this tournament. He's playing the back nine first. He is 1 over par. Through 12 holes. He's got two early birdies, and then he bogeyed 3 holes. So not a lot of low scores. Anything around even par right now is going to be just fine. So a lot of eyes on Tiger Woods this weekend, and I'm quite amazed at what he's doing, and he's actually motivated by 47-year-old Phil Mickelson winning last week. So Phil said earlier on a national talk show, he wouldn't be surprised if Tiger one-upped him again and won this week.
Well, I sort of have the same reaction to this. I know people are excited every time Tiger even just gets back on the course. And it seems like there's always somebody saying, oh, this could be the one where he gets back on it. He gets a win. But, you know, so many things have gone wrong. He's had so many lackluster performances. I don't mean to be a negative Nelly about it, but it's just, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
You're not a huge golf fan, but come Sunday, I mean, there's going to be a lot of basketball on, a lot of stuff to watch. But if he's one stroke out of the lead going in, are you tempted to turn it over?
If he's there, you know, that's Tiger Woods in contention to get a victory. And that would really, you know, there's going to be, well, it would be a little bit overshadowed by Selection Sunday. But any other weekend, come Monday, that would be the biggest story in sports. So, of course, I would watch it.
He has that kind of impact on the game.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the biggest topic of the day, at least in our minds, and that is Iowa State's season has come to an end. 68-64 loss to Texas last night, a winnable game that did not happen. Some untimely turnovers at the end. So we thought it'd be an apt time since Iowa season also is finished to ask the question, which team is better equipped for a bounce-back season in 2018-2019? That's also our Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I spent some time looking into this today, and I think you can make a case for either team in 2018-19. Neither team was good. In fact, very subpar. And if you'd like to weigh in, 319-366-1600, our Hurtin and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Iowa, of course, 14-19, 4-14 in the league, almost in the cellar. Iowa State was in the cellar of the Big 12, 4-14 as well, 13-18 overall. So similar numbers there. Also similar numbers on the defensive end. Iowa, 319th in points allowed this year. Iowa State, 258th. Those are dreadful numbers. But you look at both teams and say, well, they got some nice pieces coming back. And I would agree. But from what? From two lousy teams.
Yeah.
So how do you figure it out? Let us know out there. What do you think? Which team has a better shot at bouncing back next season? Do you have one or the other that is sticking out to you?
I knew this was going to be coming up on the show today because I knew it was going to be the poll question. So I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And like you said, you can kind of make a case for either. They're both, I look at Iowa, it's basically going to be the same team. That, you know, they're, well, it would project to be basically the same team. As of right now, all that they would lose is Dom Uhl. It sounds a little bit like Brady Ellingson's going to be gone, but he didn't really see the floor a whole lot. The biggest wild card with Iowa is Tyler Cook, whether or not he's even going to be here anymore. But all that aside, I look at Iowa State, and I see a couple guys in Lindell Wigginton, Cameron Lard. They're going to have another highly touted freshman next year in Talon Horton Tucker out of Chicago.
Big time.
Big time. And they might not have the depth of talent that I think Iowa has, but Lard and Wigginton alone, and then we'll see how Horton Tucker performs next year. I look at Wigginton and Lard, and those two guys alone make that give that team the potential to be pretty darn dangerous. Wigginton, he's going to take a step forward next year. That's a guy who's going to get looks from the NBA probably after next year, if I had to guess. And Wigginton, he's the type of scorer who can, you know, he can take over a game at any time. And I don't necessarily know that Iowa has that. And so if I was hard-pressed, I had to choose one of these teams, I'd say Iowa State probably has a better chance to have a bigger bounce-back year.
Donovan Jackson's going to be hard to replace. He had a really nice year. Naz Mitri Long. But you mentioned Talon Horton Tucker, small forward out of Chicago, who's very highly touted. You've got Marik Shayok, a wing, transfer from Virginia.
Yep.
Who is going to be eligible to play next year.
I would think that he's going to bring a little bit of a defensive presence, too. At least some effort.
Michael Jacobson, a Nebraska transfer. I don't know how much he'll be in the mix. But I really like what Zoran Talley Jr. did this year for Iowa State. He's going to be back, along with Wigginton and Lard. Terrence Lewis showed flashes of potential, as did Jacoby Long, I think. So, you know, I think potentially this is a team that you know, could go seven or eight deep. And but you always have that youngster like, you know, Horton Tucker. Is he going to be good out of the chute? Mm-hmm. And while he has enormous potential, and I know Iowa State folks are very high on him. On the other hand, as you mentioned, Iowa has everybody back besides Dom Mule. And a lot of experience, four players and double, probably 98% of the scoring back. And I think offense is going to be a problem for this team. It's going to be the defense and what Fran McCaffrey can figure out. Joe Wieskamp, we know he can score. Can he contribute defensively? He's the Iowa Gatorade player out of Muscatine. C.J. Frederick, just named Kentucky Gatorade Player of the Year. I mean, in Kentucky, that's saying something. I mean, he's not Mr. Basketball. That's going to be decided in a couple weeks. But Frederick is at 22.5 points a game, an assist-turnover ratio at 20 or 2.8, and he hits 48% from threes. So clearly he should be able to contribute offensively. Again, can Iowa get it figured out defensively?
And I don't really know what they can do because there's been a lot of talk throughout the season about how they, you know, Jordan Bohannon's a good player, but I'm from the school of thought that he is not a true point guard. He did a really good job. He can distribute the ball just fine, but I think it's not necessarily that he can't be a point guard, but the best utilization of Jordan Bohannon is to allow him to run around, get him open, let him shoot. And I think the Hawkeyes would be best served to find somebody who can run the point guard a little bit more full time. Now, Connor McCaffrey might do that.
There's a wild card right there.
That's a wild card. And I think there's been some talk of, you know, if a scholarship opens up, maybe they go out and find another point guard somewhere. But the more that I think about it, like you said, the biggest question is not offense. You know, even without a true point guard, if you want to say that, the offense was okay. The defense is what they need to address, and I don't know where that's going to come from on this roster. I like Luka Garza in a lot of different ways. He's very skilled, especially at his size at the center position, but he's not that fleet of foot. And I think the only guy who you're really Tyler Cook, if he's still around, his effort's not always there. Jack Nungy is the guy who I look at and say he could take a big step defensively, but even still, I think he's a little bit more perimeter oriented. They've got to find somebody to protect the rim.
What is a true point guard? I mean, Jordan Bohannon from an assist and three-point goals made did things that no player has done in 25 years.
Yeah.
And I would agree he's probably better at the two, but I don't think he's done all too badly at the point guard position and perhaps a de facto role. You know, somebody explain what's a true point guard.
I guess you're right. He did do a good job. He put up some really good numbers, but I guess to answer the question, I'd say just the way in which he wants to play. Like he did assume the point guard duties this year because, you know, he kind of had to. There was nobody else, but you can tell he wants to be a scorer a little bit more than a distributor. It's just kind of the way that he's made up.
Is Wigginson more of a true point guard Iowa State?
I would actually
say. Because last night we saw him, you know, not necessarily bringing the ball or initiating the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the wing.
Yeah.
And making things happen from that standpoint. But the guy can play out front as well. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
As David and Hudson said on the text line, maybe a true point guard is a slasher who can get to the hole and create in that regard. Also on the text line regards our poll question and our topic, 1545, Iowa State is better equipped with Tyler Cook, MIA, at Iowa. And we mentioned some of the unknowns, the variables. You touched on Connor McCaffrey, really an ill-stricken, injury-filled year. He's probably going to play baseball. But from, you know, the handful of games we saw, Connor's a pretty good passer. And can make things happen out there in that regard. Whether he'll take on a role out there or not, that's an unknown. Cook is an unknown. Is he going to test the NBA waters and go pro? I don't think he's going to transfer. It doesn't sound like he will. Will there be a graduate transfer that comes into either program? We don't know that. Will there be a JUCO player, as you mentioned? If there's a defection on the Iowa program, you know, it opens up a scholarship. And, you know, I don't know where Iowa State sits in that regard, but they already have two or three, you know, transfers that are going to be a factor next year from Virginia and Nebraska and whatnot. So those things we really can't factor in. But if these two teams come back intact, then make a decision. Which team is better equipped to have a bounce-back season next year? On the text line, David and Hudson again, I will say Iowa only because everyone says the Big 12 is a tougher conference, so it's easier to be better in the Big 10. Dan and Swisher, a true point guard should be able to distribute the ball to players, make good passing decisions, not turning the ball over. Again, Bohannon had assist numbers that rivaled, I don't know about anybody in the country, but very favorable numbers.
Yeah. He didn't do a bad job. I think when I look at Bohannon, I feel like it's more a question of is that the proper utilization for him? And
right.
I think the answer is no. And I do think Connor McCaffrey could step in and be the guy. Like you said, he's a good passer. He's a heady guy. He's obviously the coach's son. He's been around basketball forever. I think he could be the guy to step in and make smart decisions and distribute the ball to everybody, get the ball in the right spot. But the fact is we didn't see enough of it. We literally didn't see him this year. So it's hard to know what you're going to get exactly.
I put up a Twitter poll earlier today about the same question. And I think people are struggling with it like we are in terms of which team has a better chance at a bounce-back season. Nearly 50 votes on my Twitter poll. 56% said Iowa has a better chance. 44% Iowa State. And that's not scientific, folks. I understand that.
Right.
There's Iowa fans voting, Iowa State fans voting, and whatnot. But and we'll give you results of our poll question as well as we go out throughout the program. But the bottom line, I can make a case for either team. I really can. Not knowing what's going to happen with Cook and other players, I think both teams got an opportunity anyway.
They both definitely have a lot of talent. I was actually thinking about this last night watching that Iowa State game. You know, Iowa State has talent. They'll have a lot of talent next year. Iowa has talent. And for whatever reason, it just didn't quite click this year. So I'm not here to say that it's impossible that both of them don't have a big bounce back year.
We're going to talk more about this with Kevin Lehman coming up, our college basketball expert, and be very interested to see his opinion. Maybe he's along the same lines as we are, that both teams got a pretty good opportunity. Opportunity right now for Glenwood to upset Xavier in the 3A Boys State Basketball Championship semifinals. You're hearing that game right now on our FMs with Scott Unas. Excuse me. 56 seconds left. Glenwood at the line leading 61-59. This is a Glenwood team that came back from 20 points down in the first round, and that's very difficult to do in high school basketball. But this is, if I can use an alliteration, a gritty Glenwood team.
It's a good word.
Thank you.
They and like you said, that is really difficult to do it in, especially in high school. It's easy for kids to kind of get in a rut, give up, kind of lose the effort there. The fact that they made that comeback is impressive, but I think we're seeing it right now as they're trying to take down Xavier. That's an important lesson. If you've got a group of high school kids who are that resilient and know how to close games out like that, that's really it's really unique.
Text line 9437, what about you and I? Well, I haven't looked in depth at you and I. I know Austin Fife is going to have a big year, I think. Guard play will be really good. A.J. Green, one of the biggest national recruits you and I has ever had coming into the program to really fortify the guard play. I think you and I has a really good opportunity to have a bounce back year as well. I don't think they were that far off this year at that. So, I mean, it's always better. I remember the years that Iowa State and you and I all were in the NCAA tournament, or two out of the three were. I mean, that was so much fun. This year, come Sunday, unless, as Todd pointed out the other day, Iona is on the board, you get all excited. You know, no, Iowa's not making the NCAA tournament. So it's going to be kind of hollow this year.
Yeah, and we're going to have to find something to pay attention to. And like you said, there's not a single connection to the state here.
So we will. Kevin Lehman waiting to weigh in on our subject today. And we're going to bring him in next on the Gym Class.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Honda believes you should expect more from your car. That's why the 2018 Civic LX sedan has more horsepower than a 2018 Sentra S. Here's a comparison. The Civic LX sedan. Now the Sentra S. If you want more from your car, come into your local Honda dealer and test drive the 2018 Civic today.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back. 3:27 on this Thursday, 1600 a.m. You are hearing the Gym Class right now. On the FMs, you are hearing the conclusion of the 3A semifinal between Glenwood and Xavier. Xavier in great peril right now, trailing by six, with 13 seconds left in that ball game. So it appears that the run to three straight state championships may well come to an end for Xavier. And not so fast, my friends. We mentioned Tiger Woods in contention, and he still is, but he's managed to make back-to-back bogeys on his day, so he drops back to even par. That's tied for 30th right now, the leaders at minus four. Zach Johnson from Cedar Rapids, on the other hand, has made a birdie on the fourth hole, his 13th of the day. He also at even par right now. So we will keep you up to date on what's going on at the Valspar Championships. And we will also let you know about the conclusion of the Glenwood Xavier game coming up tonight. Iowa City West going for a spot in the 4A state championships, 6:30 against Waukee. That'll come to you on our FM dial, 107.5 and 106.3 FMs. And again, tomorrow, it's a championship day. The tournament concludes on Friday. North Lynn and Cascade will play for state titles early afternoon, and we'll see about whether Xavier and or Iowa City West will complete that championship field. Speaking of the champion, let's bring in Kevin Lehman, our college basketball expert. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great, Mark. There's been some great games at Wells Fargo Arena this year.
Oh, terrific games, terrific games. And I don't know if you've been listening to our discussion, but the topic of the day is, since Iowa State season concluded last night, does Iowa State have a better shot? Which is better equipped for a bounce back season next year.
Well, I'm going to ask you this back at you, Mark. How do you qualify the bounce back? How they do in league play, the Big Ten, the Big 12? Are we talking about overall records, NCAA tournament bids? I mean, how do we qualify a bounce back?
I would say a bounce back would be something along the lines of 18 to 20 wins and at least a 500 record in the league.
Well, and I would go with, you know, what you do in your conference play, because you know, Iowa has not scheduled really strong in their non-conference. We're seeing more teams do that, but that's a really great question. I think if you're an Iowa fan, you're going to say the Hawkeyes. If you're an Iowa State fan, you're going to say the Cyclones. But when I look at this Iowa team, I think they underachieved more than Iowa State did.
Mm.
They got everybody back except Don Mule, and adding in what they're doing recruiting-wise with Wieskamp and Frederick. And the big question is Tyler Cook going to be wearing an Iowa uniform next year? So I think if all that falls into place, Iowa has a better chance to bounce back because of what they have coming back. Because if you look at Iowa State, you know, they bring back a lot of their strength except Donovan Jackson and a great recruiting year. But I would go with the veterans at Iowa over what Iowa State brings back.
Best case scenario in your mind, what happens with Tyler Cook? Will he be on the floor next year for Iowa?
I really think he is. I think what you're going to see is the same thing we saw with Peter Jok after his junior year. A lot of talk about him leaving, transferring, going out early. Tyler Cook is going to test the waters, NBA. He's going to get some feedback. They're going to tell him he needs to improve certain parts of his game. Monte Morris did the same thing, really benefited from it. So I think after Tyler Cook gets that feedback and understands how much talent is coming out, that he would not be a first-round pick, that he'll be back in Iowa uniform. Because otherwise, if he goes to another school, he's going to sit for a year, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see him doing that. So I think you're going to look at the NBA, test the waters, and be back in a Hawkeye uniform.
Iowa State, Kevin, really, I thought, had an opportunity last night with Mamba being out for Texas. But too many turnovers. I mean, as good a game as Wigginton had, he had nine turnovers. And, you know, a couple of those were maybe guys going the wrong way and miscommunication. But nevertheless, played good enough defense to win, but couldn't get it done.
Well, that's what you like about that Iowa State team. You know, they beat some very good teams at home. Losing Nick Weiler-Babb was really a problem for that team. And moved, you know, Nikolai Babb kind of put everybody else in their natural positions. It let Donovan Jackson hunt shots. It let Lindell Wigginton use his aggressiveness, and the ball came back to him to create some havoc attacking the seams because of his strength and upper body strength, ability to get to the free throw line. I think Lindell Wigginton at a true point guard is a process he's got to learn about. And next year with Nick Weiler-Babb back and him back at that two spot, you basically have two point guards out there. I think that really helps this Iowa State team. But, you know, Wigginton and Cameron Lard, they have two really talented freshmen on that roster. And you know who else came on strong from lately was Zoran Talley.
For sure.
He got called upon because of injuries. He got better as these last few games went on. He had a nice game last night with 12-9.
Well, what do you know about the guys coming in terms of Horton Tucker out of Chicago and Shaq, the Virginia transfer?
Well, probably the same thing you did with, you know, reading about him. Number 15 recruiting class is ranked that high. Now, I have seen Mariel Shaq and Michael Jacobson practice. And Shaq is coming from a Virginia team. He averaged 9 a game. I always say, well, that's like averaging 14 or 15 in another program when you're averaging 9 for Tony Bennett and the Virginia Cavaliers because of their style of play. He is a athletic 3-4 man. He'll be a really good fit in the Big 12. And I know Steve Prohm just raves about Michael Jacobson's high IQ, and we saw tremendous improvement from him from his freshman to sophomore year at Nebraska. And, you know, that year off really helps you as a redshirt work on your weaknesses. So I look for those two to really contribute to the Cyclones next year.
Kevin Lehman joining us on the Gym Class 334. By the way, Glenwood has ousted Xavier in the boys' state basketball tournament, 69 63. So Xavier denied a chance at a third straight state championship and play in the consolation game tomorrow. Kevin,
I'll tell you that Xavier team, Mims is really a good player.
Yes, he is.
C.J. Osselberger, South Dakota State, got a steal with that young man.
Yeah, he's a very good player. 32 in the first round. I don't know how many he had today, but very good player. And Kevin, Kyle and I were talking between ourselves earlier. Jordan Bohannon, you know, folks say he's not a true point guard. But yet, you look at his statistics, assists, three-point field goals made, did things that nobody has done in 25 years or very few have done. And you referenced Lindell Wigginton as a true point guard. What is a true point guard?
You know, that's another great question. I don't know if they exist anymore because, combo guards, a true point guard in my mind is a guy that's going to really – he's not going to look to score the ball. I think Monte Morris may have fit in that when he was playing with Niang, Matt Thomas, and that loaded team of Iowa State where he didn't have to score points unless it was a shot clock situation, and then you convert at a high level. When I sit and watch Jordan Bohannon play, I'm amazed at his basketball savvy, his ability to shoot the ball. In transition, he looks for that three. You have to find him right away. But in a shot clock situation, can he beat you off the bounce and create for his teammates or for himself? And I think when people talk about Jordan not being a true point guard, that's what they're referring to. And that's, I still think Iowa, to be really successful, they need some more speed in their backcourt. Connor McCaffrey is going to help them because he is an outstanding passer. When you look at Iowa, first thing that jumps out is their defensive deficiencies. But the second thing to me is the amount of turnovers that they have. They don't have, other than Jordan, anybody with a high assist-to-turnover ratio. They have a lot of guys with a positive because they score a lot of points and a lot of assists. But they also have to clean up their ball handling for them to be more successful next season.
So,
and I'd like to know, Kyle, you're kind of quiet there, Kyle. You weigh in on this Jordan Bohannon because that's one of the biggest debates have gone on all season.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about it, and it's not that, he like Mark said, he put up some pretty good numbers. So it's not that he can't be a point guard. But I think the point that I've decided on is that I just don't think that that's the best utilization of him. I think the best way to use Bohannon is to have him running around a little bit, getting him open off screens, and letting him shoot because his best skill is as a shooter.
Well, no question. It really attracts the defensive attention. Now, I called the game when Connor McCaffrey played a William Jewell exhibition game where they played the two of them together, kind of our first look at Jordan as that two guard. And Connor McCaffrey, guys, he's going to help this Hawkeye team because he can really pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He understands, sees the whole court. And I think they lack some of that this year. Other guys other than Bohannon can really make passes and make the other guys around them better. That's an area, as I just mentioned, that the Hawks need to improve in. But first of all, they got to be able to guard and stay between their man and the basket. I would think most of the offseason is going to be working on one-on-one defense, stop the basketball.
You don't do that in the primetime league.
Well, Randy Larson would not like me saying this. That primetime league may have served its course, and maybe time to look at something else. And what's happened with that league, Mark, is, years ago you had Daryl Moore in it. You had a lot of guys that were still around town that were leaders. I always picked Daryl Moore on my team when I coached that league, because he would educate the younger players on playing hard, and that league was playing hard and playing to win. They lost those older guys. They're not in it anymore. And I think that's a problem with that league right now. There's just a lack of experience and leadership. And, hey, the points aren't what important. It's still, you're playing to win a game. So let's go out and do that. And that's one of the things about Daryl Moore was great about having him.
You kind of pointed out that the two biggest deficiencies from that Iowa team was a lot of turnovers, but then the other one that you pointed out is defensive, just utter inability, really. And, you look at the roster, Connor McCaffrey's going to be with them next year, and he should be able to help with some of those turnovers. But where's the help defensively going to come from? Who do you look at on that team and think that they need to step up a little bit and help that defense?
Well, what you need, first of all, is what I call the alpha dog on defense. And that's a guy that's going to say, hey, we're going to guard today in practice. Or when you get beat, that is not acceptable. They need someone to develop to be the defensive leader, the bell cow on defense. I don't think they had that this year. And I don't know if Fran's team had for quite a while. Maybe Matt Gaten's tried to fill it in. Eric May did it. I think we lose a lot about Anthony Clemens, how good he was defensively for them. They need a guy like that, a stopper. So when somebody gets hot, Purdue comes in and they're on fire, that you can put a guy and slow them down. They just didn't have that type of guy this year, and they have it for a couple of years now.
Long as we're on the bounce back question today, folks want to know about you and I. Maybe you can tell us better than we can. You and I shot at the bounce back here.
Well, you know, when you mentioned who's going to better bounce back, Iowa State, Iowa, and I was going to throw Northern Iowa in there also, because that's another team that, you know, they went 14 years in a row, upper division finishes in the Valley. This year they did not do that. Now, they were playing really well at the end of the year, Mark and Kyle. They, once Hunter Rhodes, he grew as their point guard. And I think the big question there is, what can A.J. Green bring to the table for them? Because I really thought their point guard play was lacking the last couple of years. And this year they didn't have what we call that basket getter. Jeremy Morgan had graduated. Wes Washburn was gone. They need a guy to do that. But my biggest concern with Northern Iowa, I think Fife can develop into a good five-man. But right now they don't have somebody that can come in and fill Clint Carlson's shoes at that power forward or four spot. I know they're recruiting some really talented high school players, but that's a huge area of concern for the Panthers right now, because Pickford's going to do well in the wing. Isaiah Brown's developed into a stopper. Lowhouse gives him points. Haldeman can score it. So A.J. Green will give him some speed in the backcourt, but I'm a little concerned about depth in the front line for the Panthers.
Well, I thought you said something. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the Valley's going to be really good next year, because Illinois State had no seniors. Southern Illinois had one senior, and Bradley's got one senior. That is going to be a loaded league at the top.
I thought you said something interesting last week, and I believe it was you, in reference to Joe Wieskamp, and hoping that Iowa fans didn't have the Damon Bailey expectations. That could apply to A.J. Green, too, couldn't it?
Oh, no question. I did make that comment, because we build these kids up to be saviors, and still they're coming in. They played the AU circuit against high competition. They played their high school, but it's a different level when you step in the Big Ten, even the Missouri Valley in a mid-major. It's a whole different scheme. Northern Iowa, you're going to have to guard people. You're going to have to understand that pack line defense. With Fran, you're going to have multiple zones you have to understand. You know, Jack Nungy came out of high school with some super credentials, and we saw him have some lulls in his performance this year. And even Garza had a little downstretch in January. So all those freshmen usually go through it at some point. So you've got a good point. But, you know, Wieskamp is built up so high as the savior. I've got friends in Des Moines call me about Joe Wieskamp. How good is he? You know, can he take Iowa to NCAA tournament glory? That's put a lot of pressure on a 19-year-old.
You're coming off witnessing the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, and as you predicted, it was Loyola and Illinois State in the championship game. And we've talked in the sports office here, Kevin, that maybe you don't want to see Loyola in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Well, ask the Florida Gators, because they saw them down there in Gainesville and got beat by Loyola. And Loyola had the trouble that all mid-majors have, Mark. No one will play them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got that bye game for Florida, and Porter Moser put out the bat signal, we'll play anybody anywhere. That's the only response he got. Illinois State did the same thing. They picked up a game at Ole Miss, and they won at Ole Miss. So it's like that Northern Iowa syndrome. When you beat North Carolina ranked number one at home, you're a mid-major that when people schedule, they don't want to play you. And I think if you look at this tournament coming up, keep your eye on Middle Tennessee State. Nevada is a really, really good team. And Buffalo was in the Cayman Island Classic out of the MAC. that's also an excellent team. So if you're looking for some upsets, there's a couple teams to look at in your brackets.
Talking about upsets and teams to watch, I don't know how familiar you are with South Dakota State, but they've got Mike Dom there. Have you seen him play?
The Dominator, yes. I called their games at the Cayman Islands Classic and did a lot of research on Mike Dom. He is an interesting specimen. I call him a no-neck guy. And when I was with Eldon Miller, he always said, recruit guys with no necks because they play bigger than they're listed. He's got long arms, big hands, can make the three, can post you up. It's kind of an old man YMCA game when he goes in low. Tough guard, and he was, I think he had 30-some in the Cayman Islands Classic, and that might have been that game against Iowa, the game after that. So they're another team. T.J. Otzelberger has done an excellent job of putting that team together at South Dakota State.
We're going to miss you next week as we're off Thursday and Friday for NCAA tournament coverage, unless, you know, we might reschedule you another day. I'll check with Scott on that, Kevin. But if you had to bet right now, who would be your top four seeds?
You know, the team I really like, guys, and there's a knock because the way they play defense is Virginia. But when you look at this Virginia team, I mean, they got beat in overtime by Virginia Tech. You got to go all the way back till December for their other loss. So I really like what Tony Bennett's doing there. I think they have a really good player in Kyle Guy, Devin Hall. And I like Villanova, too. Jalen Brunson. And I think Jay Wright knows how to get his team to the Final Four. And the other one I would look out for, guys, is Duke. Marvin Bagley III. If he gets healthy with Grayson Allen, that is a team that can make a run. And you also got a coach that knows how to get it done. And I don't know about that fourth one. I like to say Michigan State, kind of young. Kansas, lack of depth. I think picking that fourth one's really hard. And you know how it works, guys. It's not going to be all number one, number two seeds. Somebody, some dark horse is going to sneak in there, and I'm not sure who it's going to be, but it's not going to be one of those top one or two seeds.
Should I put my money on coaches or point guards?
Mark, look for a combo of both.
Okay.
Coaches that have been there and point guards that can run a team and point guards that can make shots in shot clock situations. Because remember, 2 years ago, we went to a 30-second shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
So guard play is even more important now in one-and-done situations, what the tournament is, and there's more shot clock opportunities that come up.
You talk about Virginia as maybe the top seed overall going into the tournament. They've been this same team for a few years now. They're very good. The defense is you know, suffocating. But especially in the NCAA tournament, all it takes is one bad afternoon. You need somebody who can make shots. Does Virginia have enough offensively to go all the way?
Well, I think you have it. Devin Hall who can make threes. He's shooting at 46%. Kyle Guy, because now you're looking at a pretty good backcourt there. My question with them is their front line good enough to survive and get six wins in the tournament? But when you look at what they've done through the ACC, winning on the road, I think that says a lot for their resume. This is a team that's won at Duke. You know, they've won at Virginia Tech, Wake Forest. And another thing you have with the ACC, like the Big Ten, it's unbalanced schedule, so you don't always get a true picture of what a team does like you do in the Big 12. And, you know, when you look at the Big 12 guys, that's a great tournament going on there right now. You know, Oklahoma State's trying to make a run to punch their ticket. They're playing Kansas head-to-head right now. Can this Kansas team with Devontae Graham, can they, you know, Bill Self's teams the last couple of years have not made it to the Final Four or even to the Elite Eight? Is this a team that can do it? Because Devontae Graham, guys, he's a really, really good player.
K-State knocked off TCU today as well in overtime.
Yeah, how about K-State? There's a guy, Coach Weber, who gets heat every year, and his teams always overperform for the season. So kudos to Coach Weber at Kansas State. I think that is a team with Dean Wade that got better and better throughout the course of this season.
All right, Kevin, appreciate the insight. If we don't talk to you next week, we'll talk to you week following, okay?
Hey, guys, we got to talk next week because Selection Sunday. is coming up in a couple of days.
I'll talk with Scott and see about scheduling early in the week, okay?
The madness is going to start, guys.
Can't wait. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Kevin Lehman with his basketball insights here on the Gym Class at coming up on 350. As we go to break, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. You can take advantage of one of the three locations, the Fountains at Edgewood Road, downtown Cedar Rapids, or in Lincoln View Square in Marion. Perfect time to drop in, watch some tournament games, chips, salsa, favorite beverage. Caller 5, Jeff Downing will be taking the calls right now. Caller 5, you'll win a $30 gift card to La Cantina's. When we come back, an epic Bowling Night in America recap.
Epic.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFC's only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter revolutionized hiring. Their technology finds great candidates for you. It learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. Right now, our listeners can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Dan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
My neighbors always ask me, hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Update your bathroom with American Standard. The Chancellor Bath Faucet in a brushed nickel finish is $60.52 after 11% off. And the Lincroft Widespread Bath Faucet, also in a brushed nickel finish, is $96.12 after 11% off. Get 11% off everything. Now at Menards. Good through March 10th. 11% savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
March Markdown Madness is going on now at Jungi Automotive Group. I'm Jason Jungi, inviting you to shop one of our 3 corridor locations for slam dunk savings this month. You can also get entered to win free gas for a year. Jungi offers you a wide selection of brands and competitive pricing on new and used vehicles, and our service centers always give you fast and affordable auto care done right. Visit one of our 3 Jungi Automotive Group locations today to find your next vehicle and enter to win our grand prize gas giveaway.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids, and Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM, Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. 3:54 in the Gym Class. Last couple, 3 minutes of the show today. Some housekeeping issues. Brad from Marion is the winner of the $30 gift card to La Cantina's. He'll take advantage of that, perhaps, in Marion or one of the other two locations. We'll have another gift card available tomorrow. Xavier has been dethroned in the Class 3A ranks of boys high school state basketball. Glenwood beating the Saints 69-63 today. Poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who do you feel is in the better position to bounce back next season, Iowa or Iowa State? Right now, three-fourths of you are thereabouts. I believe it's Iowa State. Kyle, I don't know if we came to a consensus, really.
The two of us here, I don't think we did at all. I think we pretty much settled on it. Could be either. And I think Iowa has just too many question marks at this point. We've got to see what's going to happen with Tyler Cook. We've got to see if there's going to be a couple guys leaving. There's just a lot of question marks with Iowa right now, whereas you look at Iowa State, and their best players are all solidly staying. I personally would go with Iowa State, but like you said, it's not easy to say either way.
Promised you a Bowling Night in America recap, and it is an epic one. Folks, an epic fail. Rusty Nails were pitiful. Pitiful last night. Quaker Oats took advantage. Got a couple former Jefferson High School bowlers on that team, and they're very, very good. But, I mean, not only was it pitiful, but it was long. I mean, we were 15 minutes after everybody else had finished. I mean, it just
slowed
down. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Even though bowling is fun, we love Bowling Night in America. We love May City Bowl. The Rusty Nails falling to 51-53, 10th place in the mature Evergreen League. But another opportunity next week to rebound. Brandon Lynch with top game last night, 279. Roger Taylor, 277, and the top series in the league, 740. Jeremy Klein right behind him at 739. Season winding down. Time is short, so we'll try to get back on the winning side of things next week. If you have questions about company outings, birthday parties, equipment, pro shop, Andy Dirk's running a fine shop there. 319-362-0136 is the phone line to May City Bowl, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com. And I think we're both anxious to watch this game in the Boys State Basketball Tournament. Oskaloosa with a promising sophomore that everybody in the country is going to recruit, and Waverly Shellrock. So we'll keep an eye on that. Boys State Tournament coverage tomorrow. Northland, 2 o'clock. We'll take on Grandview Christian, the defending state champions. Should be a whale of a game in 1A following that, Cascade and Trainer. And then at 8:15, we're crossing our fingers for Iowa City West to pull out a victory over Waukee tonight and play in that state championship game. So another fine day, Kyle. Appreciate the conversation, the interaction. Listeners, thank you for your texts. And Jeff Downing, thanks for your work producing the program today. Tomorrow, a lot more that we're going to talk some NFL. Big week in the NFL, coming off the combine and whatnot, and more basketball as all these conference tournaments take shape.
Yep. Busy, busy week in the NFL.
All right. Well, appreciate you joining us on the gym class tomorrow. We will be with you once again, and look forward to it. Spend the gym class on KGYM.
Guess what? With Boost, adding a line with unlimited gigs to my data plan has never been easier. So that means everyone gets a line. My son gets a line. My dad gets a line. My yoga instructor gets a line. Oh, and don't forget about Bill. All we needed was a switch.
You too can get line happy. This tax season, switch to Boost and make the most of your tax refund. Get four lines, each with unlimited gigs, for just $25 each per line. Plus, get up to four phones for free, all on Boost's super reliable and super fast nationwide network. Visit your nearest Boost mobile.